is raging high. The waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts. They thought they would die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. He spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. He calmed their storm like He will mine. Thou just remember, He lives inside.
Why should I worry? Why should I fear? This very same Jesus, He's always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry, and I'll call on His name till the storm passes by.
We read in the Bible how He walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have His footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. When trials come, death seems
to let the Lord help you tonight. Let's let the Lord help us tonight. Come on. Help me. Hallelujah.
No, He'll get there. Yeah.
Come on.
When sickness comes,
amen,
and my body's in pain,
Lord of God,
all I have to do is call on His name.
Amen. Amen. Lord of God, that's what we need. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Appreciate that this evening. Enjoyed that good singing. Say amen. Amen. Now listen, I want you to be here Wednesday night. Really, really do. It'll hurt my feelings, really, if you're not. We work hard and try to have one meal together every. You say, well, I just can't afford it, preacher. Well, Brother Derek said he'd pay for anybody that couldn't afford it. So you just see him after service tonight. And if he can't, Brother Ray will. And I'm sure these guys get you took care of. Amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter number 8. And I've been reading the book of Daniel. Read it this week. Amazing, fascinating book in the Bible. One of the bad things about modern day churches, they call them mega churches, and the way churches are going nowadays, is that they don't understand Bible prophecy. And if a church goes contemporary, you can always tell it by their music, and then there goes the doctrine. The music gets contemporary, the new modern version of the Bible come in, and the rapture is out, and the tribulation is out, and they quit teaching Bible doctrine because they say it's so confusing nobody can know. And it's sad, sad, sad day. If you ask an average Christian that was on fire for God 30 years ago, what they think about our modern day contemporary Christian music, they would say it's very feminine. That's the way you'd describe it. It's a weird type of music. And along with that music comes attitude, dress, no kind of Bible doctrine at all. They say instead of fighting over doctrine, let's just preach Jesus loves everybody. And as a result, we have some very weak, shallow Christians that believe in what we call kingdom theology. And kingdom theology and kingdom blessings and kingdom is this prosperity gospel that you hear the TV preachers preach, and they're confused. They think that all the Old Testament prophecies to the Jews and the blessings on the Jews in the millennium are being applied to us now. And so they say we're not supposed to get sick because our healing was in the atonement. We're not supposed to ever be poor because he was made poor that we might become rich. And they got it all confused. All confused. Them poor preachers, they have no clue what they're talking about. And it all starts when you abandon that book as the Word of God. And when a group abandons that book and brings in the soft music, you look out. When a church has that weird music, it produces wrong spirit. And I'm going to tell you something, people. That's not conducive to getting born again, that kind of atmosphere. We need to look here in Daniel chapter 8 tonight. I guess we'll use verse 12 this evening. Daniel chapter 8 and verse number 12. And I want to just pick out a verse here and bring your message on it. And the host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. All these prophecies of the Antichrist coming in the tribulation. And it cast down the truth to the ground. It cast down the truth to the ground. And it practiced and prospered. Look at verse number 11. He magnified himself even to the prince of the host. Now, you remember that story over in Matthew where Jesus said, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet? You know what he's talking about? He was talking about the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist goes into the Jewish temple and calls himself God, and he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and he implements the mark of the beast. And he says, from now on, we'll worship me. That's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now, if a person does not believe in the rapture, he cannot explain Daniel's 70 weeks. The 70 weeks of Daniel, we'll get into it one Wednesday night or Sunday night if y'all want to, if you'll come to church, about those 70 weeks determined on his people. God told Daniel, he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, a week in Old Testament prophecy means 1 7-year period. Each day stands for a year. So seven days would be 7 years. 70 weeks would be 490 years. And you know what he said? He said there'd be, from the time of that going forth of commandment, Ezra and Nehemiah, to rebuild and restore Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince would be 60 and 2 weeks and 7. That's 69. 69 weeks or 483 years. Now, Daniel, the angel told Daniel, he said, in 490 years from that day, I'm going to bring in everlasting righteousness. The world ain't going to be no more sin. There ain't going to be no more wickedness. I'm going to fix everything in 490 years. That's what he told him. So he said, from the time that we're going to rebuild Jerusalem until everlasting righteousness comes in is 490 years. And he said the Messiah would be cut off after 69. So, Jesus comes right on schedule when he walks into Jerusalem there, and they on Palm Sunday, and they're waving him palm of his entrance into Jerusalem exactly 483 years from that time. Now, if there was 483 had done happened, and the Lord said in 490, I'm going to fix everything, how many years does that leave? 7. Now, so when the Messiah was cut off, however, the Holy Ghost came down, God started dealing with Gentiles and saving church people, so the Jewish prophetic clock was switched off. After 483 years, the clock got switched off. So you got seven left. We've been going on here for 2,000 years getting people saved like a big old going out of business sale. Ever come one, come all. And as soon as that rapture comes, the clock turns back on, it goes back Jewish, and you got those 7 years left. Now there's what they don't understand on TV. They don't get, they can't understand Daniel's 70 weeks. They go in Revelation where it talks about 42 months, 3.5 years, and they say, well, maybe we're going to be here for 3.5 years. You don't get the 7 years out of Revelation, you get out of Daniel. And nobody can understand the book of Revelation till you know, get some understanding of the book of Daniel. It's a hard book, probably one of the hardest books in the Bible, but if you can get it. But here in this, and I'm not going to preach doctrine to you tonight, we'll get into that some other time, but he said the truth is cast to the ground. Brother, I'm going to pull that out of that verse tonight and use it practically. The truth is being cast to the ground. Amen. I tell you, you don't find many people that want the truth anymore. People just said, tell me anything but the truth. Let me live like I want to live. Preacher, lay off of me. Don't scream and holler at me. I'm an adult. Let me live like I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. And God will let you. It's called the sovereignty of man. He'll let you do what you want to. I'm telling you, God won't stop you from doing what you want to do. But you won't stop God from knocking your head off one of these days neither. When the time comes, I'm going to tell you, truth is cast to the ground. I'm just going to say a few things tonight. I don't even have an outline, just a few little thoughts. Truth is cast to the ground. You know, we just come through this election, and I don't know about you, but I feel very uneasy about our country. If it went the other way, I'd still felt uneasy. But I feel uneasier. It's bad. All we're hearing now is the physical cliff. Are we going off of the physical cliff? I'm not exactly sure what it would mean if we went off the physical cliff, but that's all they're talking about. And they're saying now that some of our major politicians actually won't that to happen. Or if you have a lot of money invested in stocks and stuff, it's majorly going to affect you. Now you take old people like us, it ain't probably going to make much difference to us either way. You know, because we are in the way, way, way lower class. You know, they're saying that, you know, the tax on the rich, and anybody that makes $200,000 a year down a little way is middle class. And then, like, I don't know where that puts us, poverty stricken. We're in poverty level, brother. If $200,000 is middle, I used to think $60,000 was rich man. It's over $1,000 a week. You know that a man making $200,000 a year makes $3,850 a week. I believe I could make it off that. $3,850 a week. I mean, that's more than most people in here make a month. $38.50 a week, and they're saying, well, we got to raise taxes and everything, because what's Congressman got? He said, well, what if we can't keep our house? You do what the rest of us does, get one you can afford. But you know, them big shots, they say, raise taxes, I can't afford my house. Raise taxes, I can't afford this. Raise taxes, we got to keep up. I don't know why they didn't do it. You know, when my dad and mom was growing up, my daddy was growing up in West Virginia, they didn't know there wasn't no such thing as government help. I mean, if you got out of your job, you went out and killed you something, you starved to death. And I'm glad there is help. Thank God, if I ever need it, maybe I'd have it. But, Lord, them old people, they wouldn't take nothing. They wouldn't take a handout. They wouldn't take it. Then you know what they'd do? I remember when I first got saved. I remember growing up. I remember going out with my mom. My mom would not let you pay for her food. When you go out to eat, she'd say, no, I'm paying. Those older people, they had a sense of, I'm going to pay my own way. I'm supposed to pay my own way. It's not right for somebody else to keep me up. I'm supposed to pay my own way. And, well, we don't have that nowadays. I mean, I forgot my bill. Oh, you going to pay? Can you loan me some money? You know, brother, I tell you, we're a mooching generation, ain't we? I don't even know what the physical cliff is. And I hope we don't go over it. It sounds bad to me. But I'll tell you one thing, you don't know if you got the truth or not. You don't know if you get the word of truth or not. Truth is cast to the ground anymore. When that boy said that this week, I got absolutely upset. Jamie Foxx came on TV and at those awards, and he stood up and said, I thank my Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. Man, I want to punch him in the face, and God would have blessed me if I did. Amen! I'm telling you. And you what? I wouldn't let somebody talk like that about my mama. And I sure ain't going to say something to somebody about Jesus without me saying what I think about it. What if you'd got on there and said, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, George W. Bush. They would have died. It would have been on every talk show. Oh, those crazy people. They're worshiping George Bush. And he can get by with that racist, bigoted trash spewing out of his mouth. And nobody says a word. And if they do say a word, they get mad at them. I'm telling you this evening, brother. There's nobody Lord and Savior. Not George Bush. Not Barack Obama. Not Mitt Romney. Not Brother Danny. Not nobody. That's him. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Mocking his name in this country. Nah, be ashamed of ourselves. Listen, we are so spoiled rotten in this country. I know people. This is what God's people remind me of. God's people. We're so unthankful. We are so unthankful, it's pitiful. God, it seems like the more God blesses us, the meaner we get. The more money we make, the less we go to church. The more blessings God pours on us, the sorrier we live. I know of people who spend money, save all year long, go to Disney World. I mean, listen, I've done that before and it's awful. I can't believe me to go to Disney World and not get paid for it. I'd have to get paid big time. I'd do it if I was doing... do something special for somebody or something. That's the only way I'd do it. And listen, brother, the first time I went to Disney World, I wound up carrying Carrie on my shoulders for 4 hours. That wasn't about 2 years ago. I think she was four. I think she's 4 years old. And I went up her on my shoulder. You talk about an awful, miserable time. Do you know what people will do? They'll go up there and they'll take out a loan. I mean, it's thousands of dollars. We're going to Disney World. Take all them boys, drive all the way down there, get hotels and meals and spend thousands and thousands of dollars and take them kids and stand in line and get Mickey Mouse pictures and signed autograph things, you know, and pictures with Minnie Mouse and pictures with Donald Duck. And spend a fortune, and then when you get ready to go, you're going out the gate and you're about to die and you're broke, and again, out there somebody's selling balloons, and that little kid will say, I want a balloon. You ain't getting one more thing. You get in that car, I'm broke, I'm mad, we spent $5,000 in the car. I want a balloon. No, you ain't getting no balloon, I ain't got no more money. You get in the car, and 30 miles up the road, they're still sitting in the back seat whining. What's wrong with you? I didn't get no balloon. And you think, listen, you little brat, I spent $5,000. I took you in motels. We eat out, and they're mad because they didn't get that balloon. And you know, that's the way we are, God's people. God blesses us. I mean, we got nice houses to live in. We got cars to drive. And if ever a little thing don't just go right like we are, I want a balloon. God's not good to me. Listen, God's been very good to us. God's been very good to us. Listen, we're rich people. I know we're on the bottom on some areas, but brother, we're on the top in a lot of ways too. God's been good to us. We got a Bible-believing church. We know the Spirit of God. We know what people... Listen, there's kids right here on this altar this morning going through a miserable, terrible existence, and we ought to be shouting tonight that God's been as good to us here. He's took us to Disney World. Quit griping. Amen. Amen. Truth is cast to the ground. People don't care nothing about truth no more. I think the devil tricks people. You know why I don't use a credit card? I'll tell you why. Maybe it'll help some of you. Now, I have one. I have a Visa card. And I use it to pay for bills that are automatic, like my cell phone and a couple of things like that automatically comes on my credit card. And when I get my bill every month, I write a check for it and pay it completely. So I don't charge nothing on a credit card. Nothing. If I see something that I have to have and I have to put it on there, I pay for it the next month because the interest is so ridiculous. They're saying that, you know, you get something for $2,000 on a credit card, Lord, you wind up paying $3,500 back or something like that, almost double. in a lot of, because it adds so much interest. Now let me tell you, ladies and young people, teenagers, what's dangerous about a credit card. I noticed it because I used it a couple of times. Somehow or another, in the back of our mind, subconsciously, all young people are like this, and a lot of adults, for some reason in our mind, we think, I can lay down that card and it'll pay for this TV or this Game Boy or this bicycle or this motorcycle or this gun from a kid. I can lay that card down and it's done. And in the back of your mind, you think, I don't really have to pay for this. The card does it. But guess what? You do have to pay for it. I noticed that because when I get out my billfold, I think, 20, 40, 60. God, that's a lot of money. But it ain't nothing to lay that card down for $60. Somehow or another, your mind don't relate that to actual money when you lay that card down. You just think, put that down, paid for it. It ain't paid for. Here comes 20, 40. About 3 weeks later, you'll find out it ain't paid for. You get this big bill in the mail. Every year, every month, you say, it couldn't be that much. And you start going down through there to see where they cheated you. Well, you ought to see everybody in here going, yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. You know what? You didn't realize how much you're spending. Because that card gives you some kind of false security that it don't really matter. Card pays for it. Card don't pay for it. The card just lays it away. You got to pay for it later. And I'm telling you, them things are dangerous. That's why I don't mess with them. I don't recommend you have one. I mean, you got to have them to pay certain things, but I don't think you ought to charge yourself on it. It's ridiculous. And you say, well, Brother Denny, I can't help you. You got to get out of the hole sometime. When I was broke, I have been broke, and when I'm broke, I'll do without. I buy any sausages and crackers for weeks one time. I was a preacher, pastor in a church, and didn't have no money. And I mean, I loaded up stuff and took it to Asheville, to a flea market, and sold stuff. I wouldn't come down here. I was ashamed people would see me out here trying to bum around. And brother, I went, that's the truth. And listen, brother, I done what I had to do till I got back on my feet. We're living in a time, brother, when people, Lord, these kids nowadays, they think if your battery goes dead in your car, you're supposed to go buy a new one. Car. Not battery. That's the truth. This car ain't no good no more. Listen, I jerked my lawnmower and got in a flash and broke the cord last time I tried to mow. A few weeks ago. And you think, you know what they do nowadays? This lawnmower ain't no good. Let's go buy a new one. Put it on a credit card. Son, I ain't buying no new lawnmower. I paid $35 for that lawnmower up there at the Jamestown Flea Market, and I'll get my neighbor to come over and put me a new cord on it next summer. You know, we grew up that you're supposed to fix something. When something tires up, fix it. And finally, I mean, you might have to break down and get a new one sooner or later, but it don't have to be brand new. This modern generation, got to have this, got to have that, got to have this, got to have that. These kids don't know how to wash their own clothes. They don't know how to fold them. They don't know how to jump a car off of battery cables. They don't know how to cord it all. They don't know how to. Girl, listen, if a button comes off their dress, they throw it away. I'm telling them, I said, well, I don't know how to sew. Listen, you want me to show you something embarrassing? How many of y'all can hem a pair of pants? Ladies, raise your hand, please. Men, too. Well, that's pretty good. Ron, I need to see you at service. Mom used to do mine, and I ain't got nobody to do them. I guess I'd sew on a button. But you know what? Nowadays, they think, well, my button's off. This ain't no good no more. Throw it away. They say, this is out of style. This is out of style. This our style. Well, I'm telling you, brother, we're living in a bad day. I know I have no outline tonight. I just want to give you these thoughts tonight. Let me tell you this, and I'll be done. This week on the news, they made a big to-do about this police officer somewhere up in New York. You might have seen it. It's on there like 2 days in a row. This police officer seen this homeless man. His feet was freezing. And he got him a pair of boots and brought them to him and put a pair of boots and socks on him. How many of y'all seen that on the news? They made an absolute hero out of that guy.
They made a hero out of that guy. I mean, they said, oh, this is so amazing. This story's amazing. He didn't even know anybody was looking. And he got this man some boots. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the Christmas spirit. And I mean, on Fox, they was flipping out. It was like they were saying, wow, somebody done something just about that much like a Christian. And they think it's so unusual. That shows how messed up it is in New York and out there in the world. That shows how out of touch they are with real Christians. Listen, people. I'm glad that guy did that. My hat's off to him. Praise God. I'm proud of him. Thank God for a good cop. But people, you honestly think that's news?
Come on now.
Man, give a man a pair of boots. We got bus workers that go out and stay all day every Saturday and only on Sunday put gas in their car, buy their bus kids something to eat, give, and the news never mentions it. You know why? Because the devil will not give credit to a church and to a child of God. Let me read you something. This is a letter from one of our missionaries, Nathan Reed, and his wife, Teresa. Y'all know Nathan and Teresa. They've been here a few times. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hope this finds you all well. We are honored to write to you about the good news and the Lord's work. The Lord's been good to us. I have been trying to gather up as much wood as possible to see these feeding centers and churches through the cold winter here in the city. There's a man left the mountains of North Carolina, left his family, and goes to Romania and Bulgaria and all over Eastern Europe and is out gathering wood to keep people from freezing to death. And this, it said, this dear believer woman had to cut up her pillows and burn them in a little stove to keep from freezing to death. This is one of the many reasons God wants us to stay here in Romania to help these people. Last week, my son Jacob helped me to build a small room onto one of the churches we have here in town. It was for a woman and her son who have been forced to sleep in the park. They build them a room. The news goes crazy over a cop giving somebody a pair of boots. This man gave up his life in America and builds them a room. You reckon they'll ever have him on the news and do a special on him? No. They will not allow it. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's somebody up there keeping the records. There's somebody up there watching. Every move we make, and every time we fast, and do without, and take money out of our pocket and give it to somebody, there's somebody watching. I told you Wednesday night about helping people. I said, y'all ought to help people. Help people. Be good to people. And the Bible says, as much as life in you, do good to all men. And I said, help somebody that's broke down. The very next day, I was at the Nebo Mall over there in Nebo. I go there, it's Dollar General. And that's our mall. And I was over there. And sure enough, there's a man sitting there, big old guy, had the hood up on his van. I stopped and said, man, you need some help? He said, it won't crank. And I backed up over and I was in a hurry, hooked the jumper cable to it, and it wouldn't start. Tried them again, it wouldn't start. Finally got it going and everything, and I said, see you later, and all that. And I thought, you know what? There was people passing him right and left, his car coming in and out, just passing that guy. I think the way Christians are supposed to do, we built a room under our house. I found the lady and the boy sleeping out on a broken bed. She's a Christian and was saved in one of our Turkish meetings back in the summer. I didn't have the money to help her, but my van broke down, and through some money that was left over for the repairs, we were able to build a small room to keep her warm this winter. Thank you to the couple that sent the money. A gift of love, we're able to repair the van and help this woman. We have many needs with 18 weekly meetings and 10 feeding centers the Lord has entrusted us with, but I don't want to burden all of you with that right now. Man's got 18 meetings a week, services like this. 18 a week. Had somebody tell me, I was fussing at people not coming to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and one lady don't come here. She said, Danny, you expect too much out of people. I said, really? It shouldn't. Nobody shouldn't have to beg you to come to church. You ought to say, thank God I get to go to church. There are people in this world give anything in the world to have what we got here and come to it 3 times a week. They got 18 and 10 feeding centers. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, we're living in a time when the truth is cast to the ground. It really is. It's cast to the ground. May God help us. May God help us to stay faithful and true. I feel like this, and I'm done. Miss Dessie, you come up here. It feels like the wind's blowing hard. And you know, like when these movies, like when in Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy's, you know, the wind kept blowing, kept blowing, kept blowing, and finally everything just let go in the house. That's the way it feels like what's happening in our country and our churches. It feels like the winds of hell are blowing so hard. Things are just starting to let go. I know some of you had asked me this morning, I don't know how it got out, some gossipers in here, because I didn't tell them. I fell and about broke my fool neck the other day. Brother Derek asked me, I wasn't going to tell this, but I might as well, because it's very